You're now listening to The Festival of Football, presented by Billy Harvey and Henry Barrett.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Festival of Football podcast. This is episode 6 with Billy Harvey and Henry Barrett. Today we're going to be talking about the weekend games that have just happened. And finally we're going to get on to our 26-man England squad for the Euros and eventually our starting 11s. And we're hopefully going to come together and pick a joint 26-man squad and a joint starting 11. So firstly, Bill, how you been? You been all right, mate?
Yeah, super busy though. It's always one of those things, isn't it? Not enough hours in a day to do what you need to do. How have you been?
Yeah, mate, I've been all good. Living out me in a nerd. I started playing Dungeons and Dragons today, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. What, the board game?
Yeah. Shannon bought it for me for Christmas, I believe. And I've always wanted to play it, so we finally got around to doing it today. It took about 6 hours to start it, and then just start playing it. It's like, I found myself getting into it, but yeah, it was pretty cool, mate.
Nice.
Wicked. So we'll start off going through the weekend games. I've got my phone here. Let me get me results up. So we started off, well, before we get on to Friday night, I've got to talk about the Man United-Liverpool game. I did mention on the last podcast that I thought Liverpool would slap Man United up, and I wasn't too wrong on that. Liverpool winning 4-2. Did you see that game?
Yeah, Liverpool deserved to win, didn't they? Let's be honest, they were the better team. Man United, I mean, they got nothing to play for, have they? So it's kind of... Yeah, I mean, I guess they were playing for pride, really. I mean, they're not a relegated team. It makes them sound like they're relegated, but they can't win the league. They'll finish second. So, I mean, to be honest, it's just they're just seeing it out. And even though it's a rivals game, they probably wouldn't want to lose it. But I think Liverpool deserve to win that game, to be fair.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, Man United, at times they look good. And Liverpool's defence were just shocking, as per usual. But we'll get on to more about that when we get on to the game that they had at the weekend. So we move on to Friday night. And all I can describe is we must have entered a different twilight zone because it was Newcastle 3, Manchester City 4. What the hell was happening there? I mean, firstly, Pep put in Scott Carson in goal. That was a throwback. How old is he? 40-odd?
It's got to be, yeah. I mean, the last played a Premier League game, was it 10 years ago? But I think he did it so that he would get a medal. So you have to play at least one game or something to get a Premier League medal as a goalkeeper.
Didn't it used to be 10 games?
It used to be, yeah, and they changed it. So, because, I mean, it's not fair, is it? Say, you play 5-6 games at the start of the season, you're a key player and you get injured.
Yeah.
It's not really fair, is it? But, yeah, I think it's right for him. It's nice for him to win a Premier League title. He was... At one point, you know, England's number one, so.
Yeah, not saying much.
That's not saying much.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a good game from what I saw. Newcastle did well. Then Torres just bangs in a hat-trick. Where's he been all season?
Yeah, he's a good young player, isn't he? I think he's going to be one of their key players in the years to come. So much pace, so much technical ability, great winger. I mean, it's a shame because he's in a squad that is full of great wingers. Like, they've got Bernardo Silva, Riyad Mahrez. And the list goes on and on and on. And when he's had game time, he's done really well. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think either one of us predicted a 4-3 Man City win, did we? So,
no.
I think we both get a point for that one. Because what it is, if we get the right score, we get 3 points. If we get the right way, we get 1 point. So, we both got a point for that. Moving on to the next game, Burnley 0, Leeds 4. Now, you predicted, wasn't it, a 3-0 for Leeds?
Yeah, I said Leeds would smash them, and they did. They absolutely hammered them.
Yeah, mate, you was right. I think I went Burnley 2-0. I was far off on that one. So, to be fair, yeah, you get another point for that. So, you're 2-1 up at the minute, Bill. Jeez,
makes a change.
Yeah, it does. Now, for the life of me, I cannot remember what we predicted. I think we both predicted Southampton wins.
Yeah,
but we didn't predict a 3-1. I know we didn't. So both get a point for that one. So that's 3-2 to you. Now, Brighton and West Ham was 1-1.
Yeah.
And I did predict a 1-1.
Yep.
I think I remember. So that's 3 points for me. You went for a Brighton 3-0 win, wasn't it?
Yeah, why not? You're adding some spice, haven't you, really?
So I'll just go through the rest of these games and then... we'll talk about Tottenham and West Ham games in more detail. Palace and Villa. Palace won 3-2. Now, I believe I predicted a Villa win. What did you predict? Was it Palace or Villa?
Probably Villa again, I would have thought. I don't think I would have went for Palace to win that game. It was a good game, actually. I watched a bit of it.
Yeah, mate, it was... Is that every time Villa got in front, they just decided that they didn't want to win anymore. It was really weird. Tottenham 2, Wolves 0.
I mean, that's a surprise.
I mean, I thought it was going to be... Can you remember what we predicted for that game? Because I swear I predicted a 2-0, but I can't remember.
I can't remember, and I know I went for a Wolves win because I wasn't... You know, I'm a very pessimistic Spurs fan, so I definitely would have gone for a Wolves win, but we battered them. We absolutely battered them. And it surprised me. It really did surprise me because I thought that we wouldn't, you know, given the recent performances that we've had, we wouldn't get anything out of that game, and showed me I was wrong.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a bit, in a second. Now, a game that was interesting, West Brom 1, Liverpool 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's so much to talk about in this game, mate, from dodgy refereeing all the way up until what football's all about. And just before we speak about that, Everton 0, Sheffield United 1. What a result for West Ham and Tottenham.
Yeah.
On the Blades. Well done, the Blades. Absolutely superb. Pretty much, if we win one more game each, we're guaranteed European football of some kind now. Everton have lost it. So that's good. That's a good thing. I think it's safe to say, out of everything that we predicted, I think I overall got the most points.
Yeah,
and it was West Ham won one game that got me the most. So I'll take it. That's one win to me. But yeah, we'll start with the Liverpool West Brom game. I mean, West Brom looked really good going. I told you, West Brom on the attack, mate, they could cause that dodgy Liverpool defence so many problems. Mm-hmm. And they did. And I mean, like, Robson Kanu coming out of nowhere, rolling back the ears, mate. Like, he's always been a good player, to be fair. He's always on his day, like, for Wales as well. I remember when he played Belgium, when he'd done that little spin, and Belgium defence was just like, which way did he go? Where's he gone? But, yeah, I mean, that was a brilliant finish. And then the dodginess of Liverpool's first goal. Mike Dean trips, I can't remember, was it Fabinho? He trips him. And then Fabinho trips, loses the ball. Mike Dean doesn't do a drop ball, which he should have done. Mm-hmm. He blows up for a free kick and gives a free kick to Liverpool, which then the West Brom player that, you know, was there, he blows up for a free kick. He turns around and says, like, why did you give a free kick? Fabinho takes a free kick quickly, which means he's out of position, which leaves so much space, and Liverpool end up scoring from it. Yeah, granted, it was about a minute before the ball was in the back of the net, but still, it weren't... You know, it's not acceptable that the referee shouldn't be given a free kick for that. And I find it really interesting because during that game, before that happened, Martin Tyler mentioned that Mike Dean wasn't allowed to referee Liverpool games for many years because of his Merseyside connections.
Okay.
But now he is. And then this dodgy thing happens where he fouls a Liverpool player and gives a free kick. Oh, what the hell? But be fair, Liverpool got back 1-1. West Brom should have, I still think, got more goals and got the win. But, you know, last minute, last kick of the game, Alisson comes up. Brilliant brilliant corner. Alisson jumps up with his big head, boom, heads it. Brilliant. That was the best header I've seen for a while, even though it was from a goalkeeper. And then brilliant scenes at the end, you know, with everything he's been going on with his personal life. I mean, absolutely amazing for him. You know, it's always horrible if you lose any loved one, but to lose your dad, that's been so instrumental in your footballing career. You know, that's why I feel like sometimes football is just beyond belief. Like, it's just so many things happen in football that you can't explain, mate. And that was just one of them things. It was destiny in some way, you know, that he was going to do it. And yeah, it's just superb for him to actually get the winning goal as a goalkeeper, the last kick of the game, pretty much. Unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we've seen it in the past as well, haven't we, with goalkeepers coming up for headers and stuff. Like, Schmeichel used to do it quite a lot, and he's got a fair few goals like that as well. And then we've seen some bizarre goalkeeping goals, like Paul Robinson against Watford all those years ago when he just...
Ben Foster, yeah. I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah, so goalkeepers... And then we've had, like, you know, not in the Premier
League.
Yeah, but we had the Paraguayan goalkeeper, was it Chilavert? that used to score free kicks on the regular occasions for Paraguay.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he used to come up, take free kicks.
Yeah. Crazy, yeah. So, I mean, to be fair, like, Liverpool needed that goal. And to come from their goalkeeper, it's just crazy scenes at the end. And, yeah, if they didn't win that game, they was out of the top four race. But, I mean, you could feel now that they could sneak it.
Yeah, mate, I definitely. They're definitely going to get top four. Either way, there's a few things that's either going to happen here. So it all comes down to Leicester-Chelsea. If Chelsea beat Leicester, it's better for West Ham in a way, because then Leicester have to beat Tottenham on the final day to stop Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they've slightly got a better goal difference. But if Leicester beat Chelsea, Liverpool only have to win the last two games and Chelsea can't catch them. So, because then Chelsea only got one game theoretically. And, you know, it was a big, big blow for Chelsea this losing the FA Cup final to Leicester the way they did as well. Yeah. I mean, Tielemans, we haven't even got onto that yet. We'll talk about the FA Cup in a minute. But honestly, like, seriously, like, it's just crazy how, like, so many things can still happen. I mean, I'm a bit more relieved than what I was on Saturday night watching the West Ham game. Yet again, like, we were just so dominant with the ball. Like, we were moving the ball around. Brighton couldn't stop us. And then, you know, we didn't look like we were in trouble at the back. And it's, again, Diop's not in the team. Dawson and Ogbonna's back. We didn't look like we were in trouble. They had a half chances here and there, but they weren't doing anything really that bad. But one thing I will want to get onto, and I said it to you a few weeks ago on the podcast, I can't remember which one it was, but with Lingard, with all this praise has to come criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And watching him against Brighton, he was lazy. He didn't give a crap. He was giving the ball away so many times and then just letting people run past him, not even bothering to try and win the ball back. And it was getting to the point where I'm like, get him off the pitch. He's not doing anything. He's letting the team down. But, like, you see things afterwards, like reviews and whatever the game, and no one's mentioning Lingard. They're blaming, like, Antonio and whatever else. And don't get me wrong, Antonio was crap as well. Lingard and Antonio, like, I put a post out afterwards saying they were both awful. Antonio was running around making pointless runs, wasn't even, like, impacting in the game, taking crazy shots like he can do, you know, giving the ball away again, Lingard giving the ball away again. Our best player on the day was Fornals. And yeah, he did that Bergkamp skill, mate. And when he did it, like, he flicked it through his legs, through the other guy's legs. I thought, oh, this is like a Bergkamp. And he didn't have the run, the strength and the pace and the power to get in the box. He lost the ball. But for me, like, he was the best player on the day. He missed a couple of chances, but you have to be there to make these chances. Lingard's given a ball away. He's not even doing what he was doing a few games ago. Same with Antonio.
Yeah.
We're just at this point now where we're picking these players because we're West Ham and we can't not play Lingard. Yeah, but at the same time, we've got someone like Benrahma on the bench. Now, granted, he didn't play well against Everton, but he came on against Brighton. We go 1-0 down, Danny Welbeck. I knew Danny Welbeck was going to score, and I kicked myself afterwards. I said to myself, do you know what? I should have put money on it because I knew he would score. Just a typical sort of player that would always score against us. Yeah, so when he scored, that was it. I was fuming. I've done something I've never done before when watching West Ham. I was so angry, I threw my phone on the floor. I thought I broke it, mate. I was livid. And, like, Lingard was annoying me even more. And then, like, Benrahma scores that goal at the end, and he's like, the character of West Ham, normally they would just fold over and let so many goals in and just fall away, not even put up a fight. You know, you've dropped one goal in the 80th minute. Oh, that's it, we're done. Like, that's what West Ham's normally like.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, we have shown character, you know, and that's something that you've got to, you know, now that dust has settled, I can look at it and say, do you know what? We showed great character in that game to get back to 1-1. Years have passed, we wouldn't have done that. And Benrahma, brilliant finish. Got to thank Ben White for staying down, making out he was hurt, and then trying to get a foul and not getting one, otherwise he might not score, but we've got the goal. But all I took from that game was, we haven't got Champions League football. Not because of, you know, Chelsea, Liverpool, Leicester, Tottenham being the big boys that they are and being better than us and just being too big for us and too good for us. We haven't got top four because of us. Because we've been poor at times. We've wasted opportunities. Every time there's been an opportunity there, we've not took it. You know, we beat Newcastle. We would have done well. We got back to 2-2 with 10 men. We lose 3-2. If we beat Arsenal, we're 3-0 up. We draw 3-3. Like, what are we doing? Like, these chances are blown again and again. Chelsea, yeah? We could have beat Chelsea. I told you we could have beat them.
Yep.
The only blessing I can take is that we've done so well this season. Teams like Chelsea, Everton, Brighton, instead of playing attacking football, they sit back and defend against us because they know how deadly we are on a counter-attack. So they sit back and defend and say, break us down. And we're nick a goal on a counter-attack. And that's what they all did. Even Chelsea did that against us. So in a way, you've got to say, do you know what? We've earned a lot of people's respect. But respect's not enough. Do you know what I mean? I was gutted that we've not got Champions League. I really am. But, you know, we've got a chance now, battling out head-to-head with Tottenham for Europa League. And I want Europa League more than the conference because I was looking at it a little bit. And at the minute, if we got the conference, we'd be playing, I think Villarreal might be going into it. And then you've got, is it Roma from the Italian League? So you never know, you know, you could get one of these teams and it's just, I don't know. But yeah, from that game, I was disgusted with Lingard's performance. It was just lazy. I really didn't enjoy it. And it was really annoying me. I just hope when we play West Brom look good against Liverpool. I'm worried, mate. They're going to have fans behind them. I just hope that they go out trying to impress their fans and we hit them on the break early and get a goal or two and kill the game off. Because we only need one more win. Everton's 3 points behind us. We've got goal difference ahead of them. So if we get the win, they can't catch us. You know, they can get the same amount of points, but they've got to play Man City. Against Man City, at Man City, where Man City is going to be lifting the trophy in front of their fans, and they're not going to want to lose that game, City. So, you know, it'll be hard for Everton to catch us now. But we'll see what happens. Tottenham game, I mean, from what I saw, they looked good, mate. Tottenham looked all right. You know, Dele Alli again, yeah, they were raving about him when he weren't doing too much, but he looked better than what he has been, to be fair to him. Maybe it's his new haircut.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's kissing Pep Guardiola's door as well. Maybe that's helped him in some
way. I saw that. He's playing with fire, man.
Well, he's not going to get a move to Man City anytime soon, is he? So, yeah, the thing is with Dele Alli, like, he's playing good now because he knows this is his last chance to try and get his way into that Euro squad. And we'll talk about it when we talk about the Euros in after this. But
spoiler alert, he's not in mine.
He won't get in. He's not in my team either. But him and Lingard are very similar. They blow hot and cold. And they're like, as people, they're too interested in their social accounts and their social nights out than developing as football players. And that's why we haven't seen them develop as players, because they're not as interested in that side. You know, they get a lot of money. Mm. They're more interested in posting like a good Instagram post with them doing a dance or doing a Boohoo Man advert or whatever it is than, you know, being on the training pitch and actually developing as a player. Because I think Dele Alli's lucky to still be at Tottenham, if I'm honest. He hasn't done anything this year. He did nothing last year either, really. Mm-hmm. And if it was me and PSG, like, apparently were interested in him, I'd ship him off. He'd be like, thanks, but no thanks, bye.
Yeah, I think the problem with that was PSG wanted him on loan, didn't they? Do you know what? This might sound very controversial, but do you know what club I think Dele Alli suits?
You go for it. Arsenal. He won't sell him to Arsenal. But
no, they won't sell him to Arsenal. But I'm saying I think he suits Arsenal. He's that... Arsenal have always had that one creative midfielder that they... Who's good, but, you know, Arsenal fans big up way too much. And that's what Dele Alli is, in my opinion. You're right, what you say. You know, they're just worried about the social media accounts. Like, I saw the thing with West Ham the other week. It was Mark Noble's birthday. And he's on the... rowing machine, and they egg and flower him and stuff, and yeah, it's all brilliant, it's all funny, and it's a laugh and a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose on the weekend.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, you're a footballer, you're meant to have a good time and a laugh and stuff, but when you put in such a, like, you look so like a cohesive unit outside on like Instagram or whatever, but on the pitch you don't play as it.
Yep.
You know, so like the only player that I feel like links up with Lingard really well in our team is Bowen.
Mm-hmm.
And Bowen's offside most of the time. So that's the problem with him. And I heard someone say that Antonio coming back has made it worse for Lingard. So I don't know what that is. But I think Tottenham are right, mate. I mean, it all depends on Kane. I mean, it was a nothing game in the end. I mean, the only interesting thing that came out of that game was Gary Neville give Connor Cody man a match, even though his team lost 2-0.
Yeah, but Gary Neville's one of those people. He just comes out with things for the sake of coming out with things. Like,
but you know why? But you know why I give it? Because in the first half, Connor Cody made, I think, 20-odd clearances in the first half. He played brilliantly, mate. He did play well.
Yeah, but
so he did deserve it. But when you lose 2-0, you can't give man of the match to a defender if they've lost 2-0.
No, you can't. And I think, like, we've said it about Gary Neville before. Like, he has his favourite players and he has his own agenda. It's just... it doesn't make any sense. Like, I get it. If you gave it to the goalkeeper because he's made 15, 20 saves and you still lost, okay, fair enough. You can understand that. But to give it to a defender that's not, even then, it's a bit like, surely there's someone on the opposition team that's played a bit better.
I personally like Gary Neville because he speaks his mind and he doesn't hide behind Sky and say, oh, I work for Sky Sports, I've got to be careful what I say. And in a way, like Jamie Carragher kind of... follows Gary, but he doesn't commit like Gary does, right? So that's the best thing about Gary Neville. His team of the season was a joke. He put Rashford in it.
Of course he's going to put Rashford in it. He plays for Man United.
What the fuck? That Carragher put Soufal as right back in his team of the season.
Makes sense.
That is a legit thing. Gary Neville picked Cancelo. I think he's been playing left back most of the season, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. He's not been in the team all the time either.
So it's just putting names and moving them in different positions. But I don't know, mate. It is what it is. But yeah.
The thing is,
Tottenham are all right. I think you'll beat West Ham to Europe. It all comes down to the simple fact if you've got Villa on Wednesday, and it depends on what Villa turn up. If Grealish starts and he turns up, you could drop points. If you drop points against Villa, I say, and West Ham beat West Brom, then we've got it. Because I think we beat Southampton last day in front of fans, or at least a point. And I don't know, I don't think you'll beat Leicester. If Leicester need to win at Leicester, in front of their fans, bringing the FA Cup there, I don't see Tottenham winning that game. But if Leicester don't need to win, I can see you winning that game. So it all depends on, there's loads of varieties of things that can happen. But yeah, let's move on to the FA Cup quickly. I mean, what a game, what an occasion. I mean, not what a game, it was a pretty poor game, in fact, but we had all this ESL ball crap, you know, all these big clubs and everything. And then Leicester, as they kept saying, little old Leicester. No, Leicester for me should now be in the top six above Tottenham. Because they have won the Premier League and they've held the FA Cup before Tottenham have done anything, mate.
Yeah.
And for me, it's not about stadiums. It's not about how rich the club is. It's about what they're doing. And Leicester are not only doing it, they're doing it the right way. Like in that game, you can say, oh, you know, when Ndidi blocked it, or Perez blocked it, sorry, it hit his hand and whatever, but it hit his knee first. So for me, that weren't handball. Brilliant strike from Tielemans. I mean, he's always been a quality player on his day, and it was a brilliant strike. I mean, Kepa had no chance. But once again, what is Kepa doing starting over Mendy?
Tuchel made some really strange...
He's losing his mind.
I think to be honest, he shouldn't have... This is the thing that I don't get now with goalkeepers, is that you've got a cup goalkeeper... The thing is, you've got in a cup final, you've got to play your best team. And if you upset the cup goalkeeper, so what? Sell him. Like, yeah, okay, they bought him for 70 million. But if he's that upset, well, okay, then, mate, we'll take it.
What I don't understand is, if you've got a cup keeper, fair enough. But he played Kepa against Arsenal in the Prem. So why did he not play Mendy against Arsenal if he was going to play Kepa against Leicester in the FA Cup final? It don't make sense. I text my Chelsea friend that he supports Chelsea. And I just said, like, what's he doing? Why is Kepa in goal? And even he couldn't believe it.
Nope.
I personally don't understand. Not that Mendy would have saved Tielemans' shot, but it's just the inconsistency. I mean, he put Reece James at right back, or not right back, right centre back, and played Aspilicueta right wing back.
Yep.
What's he doing? Like, I get it, he's trying to counter Vardy's pace, but you've got Zuma there. You know, Thiago Silva's no slouch. But, yeah, I don't know. I just think he fluffed his lines, mate. And I hate to say it, because obviously, as I said, you know, I've got a friend that supports Chelsea, but they could literally not win the FA Cup, not win Champions League, and finish in the fifth or sixth position.
Yep.
And that would be what a failure that will be.
Yeah, and I think they will. I don't know about, they might finish fourth potentially, but it depends on a few things. But they're not winning the Champions League final, not on that performance anyway. Man City will thump them 4-5-0.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. Like, Man City on their day is the best team in the world with the players that they've got. Chelsea can do a job on them. But this has got to be knocking their confidence, man.
Yep.
When you've got a manager not picking the right players for the right occasions, it makes no sense to me. Like, what's Pulisic done? Why can't he get in a team anymore?
This is what I don't get about managers. They don't play their best team, and it's a strange one because you need to win trophies. Because let's be honest with you, Tuchel, if he loses the Champions League final and they don't finish in the Champions League, will they sack him? I mean, they'd have every right to sack him because he's
flopped. I mean, that's why he's only got an 18-month contract, mate. I think Abramovich went in knowing that if you don't get the job done really quickly, I'm only putting you on an 18-month contract, so I ain't got to pay you out loads of money because I've just paid out Frank Lampard all this money, you know what I mean? So I think he's, I don't know. It's one of them things, mate, but do you think he disrespected Leicester by playing that team, you know, by playing Kepa in goal and you know, not playing? I don't know. I think he blew it again. You know, he said it against Arsenal. I played the wrong team. I think you played the wrong team again, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Rudiger? He's been playing well for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He did blow it. He did. And I think he's one of those things what managers do now is they overthink it. Like we saw it in the Champions League last year with Pep against Lyon. He overthought that. That Man City team should have smashed Lyon to bits. But he was too worried about what Lyon had and not worried about what
Man City had. I mean, Lyon were on good form that year, though.
But even so, like, who was their best player? Memphis Depay.
Yeah, I mean, they had a few good players, though.
Yeah, decent players, but not nothing. Like, you wouldn't take any of those Lyon players in the Man City team, not one of them.
Yeah, possibly not, no.
It's like what Ferdinand said when David Moyes came in as manager of Man United. He was like, David Moyes was too worried about what other teams had, and Ferguson was always like, this is what we've got.
It's different managers have different, you know, policies and
It is, but I think at that level you've got to go in, like, Tuchel should have gone in the game going, look, we've got Ziyech, we've got Pulisic, we've got
Abraham. Rubbish, man. He was rubbish in that game. I don't know, I mean, let's talk about the offside. Like, was Chilwell offside for you?
Yeah, he was offside.
Under the letter of the law, he was offside because his armpit was offside. Yep. But this is where it goes for me. The other day when Harry Kane was given offside, it was his toe.
Yep. Yeah.
That was offside because it was his toe. Mm-hmm. If your armpit's offside, I'm starting to think, you know, they've got to come out of a rule where it's silly because you're not going to score with your armpit. You're going to score with your shoulder because you can shoulder it in. You saw the Palace guy that Mitchell
did. Yeah, he did just there.
Score with your shoulder. With your armpit, you're never going to armpit it in. So it's got to be stuff that, because if his actual hand was in an offline offside position, it wouldn't be given offside because it was his fingers or his hand. He can't hit that in.
Yeah.
So with his armpit, I reckon it should have stood. But, you know, it is what it is. But it's just VAR getting involved and drawing lines and I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong, it gave us a beautiful moment, you know, with the owner and his dad and, you know, that West Ham Leicester game with the helicopter that crashed and stuff and the Leicester players crying, bringing him on the pitch. He was, you know, emotional. And it got him to lift the FA Cup and everything. And for me, that was an amazing thing and brilliant for him, you know, brilliant for continuing his dad's legacy the right way. And I just wished West Ham had owners like that, you know. I don't know what they do in their personal life, but they've run Leicester brilliantly. And, you know, if it's not West Ham, I want Leicester to do well because they're a great club. They're doing things the right way. And they're taking it to the big so-called six. And they deserve it.
Yeah, they do. Their transfer policy has got to be the best in the Premier League. Like, yeah. Their transfer team is immense. The signings that they've made and the money they've made off those signings as well is it's incredible.
Amazing. You only got to think of like the last three: Maguire, Mahrez, Kante.
Yep.
I mean, even Drinkwater, they got quite a lot for him as well.
It's again one of those things like Chelsea, why did they pay 30 million for Danny Drinkwater when he couldn't even get in Man United's team?
Maybe they was out of water.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And it, like Leicester must have been rubbing their hands together, like, oh, we got 80 million for Maguire, 30 million for Drinkwater. Jeez, what are we doing here? Like some sort of magic going on in the background.
Yeah, mate. Well, this is it. This is it. Let me so what we're gonna do now, we're gonna move on to the England squads. So what we're gonna do first, guys, is we're gonna just run through. I'm on Sky Sports on my phone, so it's going to give me a list of all the players for each position. Then, once I've read that position out, the names, we're both going to pick our three. I've got a detailed list all written down, all my theories and scenarios and whatever. Billy's probably just going to wing it like he always does. And then, once we get our 26-man squad, we'll both say our starting 11s, and then we'll try and mix and match. You never know, we might have picked the exact same 26 men.
Maybe, you never know.
You never know. So we'll start with the goalkeepers. So Bill, according to Sky Sports, so if I've got anyone out, missing anyone out, or I've not said someone you like, guys, don't blame me, blame Sky Sports, okay? Because they have got Mikel Antonio on this list, and I don't know why he's on there, because he's now representing Jamaica. So the goalkeepers are Nick Pope, Pickford, Henderson, Ramsdale, McCarthy, Johnston. So I'll give my three first.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Pope, Dean Henderson, and Sam Johnston. They're my three that I'm taking on the plane.
Okay, so I'm going to go for Pope, Henderson, Pickford.
No! Don't say Pickford! Why? He's rubbish!
But he's the only English keeper that's a sweeper keeper. And that's the way that Southgate likes to play. So he's definitely...
No, mate, it's not how Southgate likes to play. It's how we will play.
It's
mate, I've won the Euros and football manager with England. It's fine. I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing. I won the World Cup with Romania once. So
yeah, that's a massive achievement. I just started a save yesterday and I won the FA Cup with West Ham. Finished in the top six and then just won the Community Shield beating Liverpool.
Nice. But yeah, I'm taking Pickford because he's going. Like Southgate loves him. He's England's number one, so he's going.
Don't get me wrong. I get why you would pick Pickford. But for me, he's had such a bad season. You know, he was injured at one point. He fucking broke Virgil van Dijk for another thing. For me, there's just been better keepers than in this season. You look at Pope. Pope's one of the best keepers England's got, period. Henderson. He's kept De Gea out of the team. You know, granted, you might have an opinion where De Gea is better for you, but Henderson's kept him out of the team, no matter what you want to say. He's had a couple of mistakes and he's a bit erratic. That's why, we'll get onto that in a minute. And then you've got Sam Johnston, yeah?
Yep.
He's been making amazing saves for West Brom this season. So why would I take Pickford, who normally doesn't have to do that much for Everton and still makes mistakes, where I can take three goalkeepers, two of them are playing for teams that they have to make saves a lot of the game and they're not making that many mistakes. And the other one, I think Henderson, for example, should be going because he's a better for the long term. So he needs the experience. And I just think they're the better three, but it's up to you. So out of the three keepers, you're taking Pope, Pickford and Henderson.
Yep.
Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute and then we'll see what we will change our mind on that one. Okay, so on the defenders, this is a list that Sky Sports have given me. We've got Tomori, mm-hmm. Ponsa,
mm-hmm.
Cash, Target, Mings, Trippier, White, Tarkowski, Chilwell, James, Holgate, Godfrey, Keane, Trent, Stones, Walker, Maguire, Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, Smalling, Aaron Cresswell, hey! and Connor Cody. So I'll go through my defenders first, and it's quite a big list, but it's because we've got 26 men, we can afford to take a few different people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll say one straight away. On his list, he's down as midfielders, but I've put him in defenders here. It's Saka. I've took him.
Okay.
But off of that defender list, I've got Tomori, Mings, Maguire, Stones, Shaw, Chilwell, Walker, and Wan-Bissaka and Cody. So you can see that I've not took Trent.
Yeah, that's a bold choice.
I'll tell you why I've not took Trent. It's because he's had a poor season.
He has, yeah, he has.
He's had such a poor season. The way I look at it is, if he's going to... I said 2 minutes ago, you know, it's about what we want and who we pick. But if Southgate's going to play five at the back and he's going to play with two wing backs, you can't play Trent. As much as Jay can get forward and make crosses, Kyle Walker's going to be up and down really quick, better than Trent.
Yeah.
And if he's going to play left wing back, that's where you need Saka, because you can't play Shaw left wing back. It's too defensive. Mm-hmm. So you need Saka that's going to bomb up and down the wings. If he plays four at the back, once again, you need Kyle Walker on the right, because he can get in behind with his like pace and make up for it and bomb forward. And then Shaw's good at a left back. You know, Chilwell's a good replacement. And I've gone with Wan-Bissaka again because he's the same sort of player as Walker. You know, if we didn't have such a great midfield choices, I would have put Trent in midfield. So personally, I'm not going to take Trent because of that. I've picked Maguire, Mings, Tomori, and Stones, and Cody, literally because you've got extra players to pick from. Seeing Cody in that game against Tottenham yesterday, that put him in the plane for me, because he was a man mountain, mate. He was doing individual things, and yeah, I just felt he deserved to be there. Stones and Maguire, because they're great on the ball, you know, they come out, and sometimes you need that. You need that defender to come out when the midfield's not doing it. You need that defender. So we've got either one that can come out. I've put Mings in there simply because he's the only left-footed centre-back that England has. And sometimes you need that in a game. You need someone to be on the left foot, on the left side, you know, similar to what John Terry was on the left side, but he was a right footer, wasn't he? But, I like Mings. I don't know. I just think he's all right. And Tomori, once again, same as Henderson, he's the future for me. Tomori is a great player, and he needs to be in and around the team to get experience. And if you need him, he can do a good job. So I'll take him as well. Who are you taking?
Yeah, so two left backs. I'll take Shaw, Chilwell. And then two right backs. Take Wan-Bissaka. I'll take three right backs, actually. Wan-Bissaka, Reece James, and Kyle Walker. And then four centre backs I'd take. John Stones. Probably Tomori, because he's got pace. Maybe, yeah, Harry Maguire, because he will go. And I would also have probably Tyrone Mings. So they'll be my defenders.
Okay. Some good picks there. I mean, we both got picked Trent. So Liverpool fans are going to hate us, but I don't really care, man. Look, the way I look at it is, I'm not picking from a biased point of view, you know.
Mm.
These Liverpool fans or Man United fans, they're going to pick players that are in their club.
Yep.
Without a shadow of a doubt. As a West Ham fan, there's only one player I'm definitely picking from my club that should be in the squad.
Okay.
Everyone knows who that is. But I'm picking from an unbiased point of view. I've looked at every game this season and I've seen who's been playing.
Mm-hmm.
Wan-Bissaka and Kyle Walker have been consistently better than Trent. So
yep.
It is. So suck it. But yeah, we'll get on to... Because we pretty much picked the same sort of players there, Bill.
Yeah, not too much difference.
Moving on to midfield. Once again, I'll read through quickly who are on the list. So Sky Sports have got... I can't believe this guy's on here. Smith Rowe.
Oh, God, no.
Saka.
Mm.
Barkley. Grealish. Sancho. Jude Bellingham. I don't know if I said his last name properly. I know where he is.
Bellingham.
Mason Mount.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson-Odoi. Kelvin Phillips, James Maddison, Harvey Barnes, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, got there in the end, Henderson, Curtis Jones, Raheem Sterling, Phil Foden, James Ward-Prowse, Dele Alli, Harry Winks.
How?
Eric Dier.
Oh, God.
Jesse Lingard, Mikel Antonio, and Declan Rice. So they're the ones that they're saying we can pick from. So
Okay. Let's
set this. So obviously I said Saka earlier for the defence, so he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone with Rice, Henderson, Mount, Foden, Grealish, Sancho, Jesse Lingard, Jude Bellingham.
Yeah.
And now I'm stuck between two.
Okay.
I've got Raheem Sterling or Ward-Prowse. Now, you could say we've got quite a lot of wingers that can play in this team.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only really got three central midfielders, you know, Bellingham, Rice and Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
But, controversially, I'm going to leave Sterling out and take Ward-Prowse.
That's a big shout.
Mainly because Sterling's not done it again this season. He's had a bad season. He's, you know, Pep's dropped him. He's not with it. And it goes to all the things over the years. You can't pick England players based on their names. You've got to pick it on form. And Southgate did that for the World Cup. And you look how good we did. And Ward-Prowse has had a great season. You know, Southgate got to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. He's banging in free kicks. And I think he has to go for his set-piece delivery. You know, if we get to a penalty shootout, you've got to bring Ward-Prowse on because he can score a penalty, you know? And that's what you've got to think. When you've got 26-man squad, you've got to think of these different things. Saka gets in, as I said, because he's versatile. Left back, left midfield, right midfield, possibly even right back if you need him. So, yeah. I put Lingard in. I mean, you could potentially drop Lingard and have Sterling. But I've put Lingard because in them games that he came to West Ham, he affected our season in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for him, we wouldn't even been in the Champions League. We lost Antonio, we lost Rice, and he single-handedly carried us forward. You know, he was doing all these different things. So for me, that short period alone, he has to go. Maybe not start, but he has to go because he can perform like that. And when you've got someone that can perform like that, he has to go. I've put Sancho in simply because I don't see much of Sancho. I don't watch a lot of the Bundesliga, but I know what he can do. And he's realistically our only right-sided winger that we have, really. So, yeah, he has to be in. I've decided that I'm going to drop Sterling. He's not performed. And take Ward-Prowse because then that gives you Rice and Henderson and Ward-Prowse that can be in them three midfield roles. Bellingham has to go. I know he's only 17, but again, it goes to that thing. You've got to take him, get him around the squad, get him the experience of the tournament for the World Cup next year because he's going to be a big player in the future as well. That's my midfield.
Okay, some shocks in there. Some shocks definitely in there. So I think for me, I'll go for central midfield players first. So I think you've got to take Mason Mount. He's had a great season. James Ward-Prowse I'd take as well because he's had a good season. And he offers something a little bit different. Like, we don't really have a set piece specialist in the team. And I think he could be handy.
We don't want Kane taking corners again.
No. Corners and free kicks and stuff. No. Obviously midfield players. You take Declan Rice as well. Mm. But take Calvin Phillips because he offers something a little bit different. He's a bit of a workhorse in there. He's not talented, the most talented player, but Southgate likes him and he'll go. So we'll take him as well as like the four centre mids. I'll take an additional one as well, I think. Controversially, we'll take Eric Dier because he's rubbish, don't get me wrong, but he's useful. So
Can I say one thing before you finish? Are you counting how many players you're using because you've only got 26 men? You might get to the strikers and only have one striker and you can't pick Kane because then you've got to pick freaking Danny Welbeck over Kane, ain't you?
That's it, yeah. But I'd take Eric Dier just because he's versatile and he can play at centre back as well if you need him. And he's got experience. He's all right as a player. It just shows what our options are like in his position. They're very poor, aren't they? And then I think for the wingers as well, you have to take Sterling and Sancho. You just have to, because they're the best wingers that we've got talent-wise. I know Sterling's had a bit of a bad season, but he still has to go. And then I'd take Phil Foden as well in the team. Probably play him as a number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the wing, left, right. Or
I agree.
I'd play him as a number 10. And then, yeah, I'd probably take Grealish as the last one as well. It's because he can play as a 10 or he can play out on the wing. So I'd take him too.
So you're not taking Jude?
Jude Bellingham, no.
Yeah, and you're not taking Henderson?
No.
Fair dues. I mean, that's your choice. I mean, I've took Henderson because it impacts my starting lineup the way that I want to play the game.
Okay.
But I didn't want to drop Sterling, but you've got to get 26 man, you know, and for my striker, I mean, I guess I could take Sterling as my striker. I might do that because I was struggling. I've only got 4 picks left for my strikers. And I was struggling for a fourth one. So I might change and just put Sterling in there and then just only have 3 strikers. But here's the strikers list that Sky Sports have given us. And there's not many, to be fair. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's only 9 strikers. Not very good, is it? So we've got Ollie Watkins, Tammy Abraham, Calvert-Lewin, Bamford, Greenwood, Rashford, Wilson, Ings, and Kane. So I've got in my 4, I've picked Kane, Rashford, Greenwood, and I had Ings, but I'm going to take out Ings and put Sterling.
Okay. So
Sterling does make it. So that's my 4. I've took Greenwood because he's a striker. He's going to be the future. He has to be around, and he can also play on the right as well. So that's my 4.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I mean, obviously, I had Sterling in already, but I would take Kane, Danny Ings, Mason Greenwood. Who was the other one that you said?
Rashford.
Yeah. Those would be my ones.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, I think we should just keep it to the 2026 teams that we picked. No point messing about with it, I guess. Just go through the starting lineups that we'll pick then, Bill. So for the first game, I think we've got Croatia, the starting 11 that I will go with.
Mm-hmm.
And for the YouTube version, I will put up graphics for you all to see. I'm going to have Pope in goal, Walker at right back, Maguire and Stones as centre-back partnership, Shaw on the left, Rice and Henderson sitting, not moving at all. They're just going to sit in front of the defence. And then we've got a 3 of Greenwood, Foden, and Grealish. You can mix Greenwood and Sancho around, but personally, I like Greenwood more. The way that he can cut in on his left foot, he's a natural finisher. And I just think Greenwood deserves that chance. Sancho, for me, I don't see enough of him to make that judgment. But it's a close between them. And then obviously you've got Kane up front. Mm-hmm. So that's the 11 for me that I would personally start with. What about yourself?
Pickford in goal.
For fuck's sake. if you have Pickford and Dier in this starting 11, it'll be a Dier team.
Yeah, so I'm going to go 4-2-3-1. It's pretty similar to you, but I'll have 2 centre mids instead. So I'm going to go for Pickford in goal, Kyle Walker at right back, Ben Chilwell at left back. And then centre-backs, I'm going to go for John Stones and Tyrone Mings. Because we need a bit of pace at the back. Stones is slow, and so is...
Yeah, but that's what Walker brings you. You know, if you've got Rice and Henderson sitting, Walker can get the pace to get back when he needs to. I think it... Yeah, but anyway, go on the short team. You pick.
Yeah, and then in the central midfield positions, I'd have Rice and Calvin Phillips.
Okay.
They offer you something like Calvin Phillips is an amazing workhorse in the middle of the park, so he'll be fine. He'd be like the English Kante.
Nah, don't agree, but okay, go on.
And then right midfield, Sancho, like right winger, Sancho. And then number 10, like Foden, number 10. And then Sterling on the left and then Kane up front.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, mate, Foden and Rice, I agree with you. Walker, we've agreed. Stones, we've both got Stones in. So the goalie is a big thing for me. Pickford can't start. He can't start. I'm sorry. He just can't. But, I mean, ultimately, Grealish is in for me because he can just do anything off the cuff. You know what I mean? He's something different. And with him and Foden in the same team and then Greenwood on the other side and Kane up front, if we only need them four guys attacking because it will threaten them other teams so badly. And then you've got Rice and Henderson. Rice can drop back into the three defenders if you need it. And then Walker and Shaw can bang on. And then you can even take Shaw off and bring Saka and he can bang on if you need. So it's the team I've picked, formation can vary, you know, and be different. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think we've both picked decent teams. I just strongly disagree with Dyer. He don't need to be anywhere near this team. I'm sorry. The only thing he should be doing is being in the stands with his brother, fighting off other fans like he does normally.
I just think you're taken because he's versatile, isn't he? But then again, you might not need a versatile player. That's the thing. So that might go against him this time. I mean,
I think you've got someone else in the team that can do that job, and that's Rice. He can play centre-back. He can play CDM. You took Kelvin Phillips, mate. I would have swapped Dyer out and put Henderson. And I'd agree with your team as well that you've got different things. But yeah, great, mate. I think it's been a great little chat picking our squads and our starting 11s. And let's just see if anyone's correct. I mean, Southgate's probably just going to pick every big name under the sun.
Yep.
I mean, Trent didn't get in either of ours, so make of that what you will. And yeah, bring on the hate. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I didn't pick any Liverpool players, so
didn't pick any.
No, I didn't have Henderson or Trent, did I?
Oh right, shoot. Yeah, I guess there is no other English players, really, is there?
Oxlade-Chamberlain, but he's rubbish. Oh,
yeah, he's injury prone. That's ruined his career, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, all he cares about for him anyway is Little Mix. So,
yeah, it's true.
But yeah, all right then. So this is where we're going to wrap up the podcast, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. Get us our feedback with the England team. Let us know what you think of our choices. Let Billy know that he was wrong for putting Dyer in the team. Let me know that I was right for leaving out Sterling or bringing him back in. Let me know what you think and let us know what you think of the Trent decision because a lot of people are going to be up Trent's bum, you know, they're going to love him because of what he can do. But I think if you've got Ward-Prowse, you've got better delivery there than Trent, in my opinion, in certain areas. Trent's better on the wing, but Ward-Prowse is better at set pieces and whatnot.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for watching, everyone. Thank you for listening. All the different social medias that you could have watched this on or podcast platforms. Remember to check out our YouTube channel. We do upload on there very regularly with all the different contents where you can see our faces. You can see my ugly mug and you can see Billy's ugly smug mug. Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying all this content we're putting out. We'll be back again towards the end of the week. I don't know if there'll be a second episode, but there might be a special where we talk about the legend that we mentioned in a few previous pod, but we'll see what happens. Time is crucial, as everyone knows, and there's not a lot of it at the moment, but we'll see what happens, guys. And yeah, until the next one, it's a goodbye from me, it's a goodbye from Billy, and we'll see you on that next one.
See you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Festival of Football podcast, presented by Henry Barrett and Billy Harvey. We'll see you on the next one.